Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's sermon is titled Father's Day. Thank you to Don, Jeff, and Rhonda for being involved in the video. The scripture reading is Proverbs 23, verse 22 to 25, and I'll be reading from the New English Translation. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Acquire truth and do not sell it, wisdom and discipline and understanding. The father of a righteous person will rejoice greatly. Whoever fathers a wise child will have joy in him. May your father and your mother have joy. May she who bore you rejoice.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to the service today, Father's Day at the Beamsville Church of Christ. As you can see, I'm wearing my Father's Day tie. Some of you have been here for a few years know that I always wear this tie. Ernie, I hope you're watching this. My wife isn't allowed to complain on Father's Day when I wear this tie. That is 30 years out of date. I like to consider that I'm on the cutting edge of the new revolution because these are coming back around. Okay, so just so you know. There have been lots of fathers in our day and age. Fathers are not just about bad puns and car keys and wedding speeches, although these are important parts of being a father. But we've had examples of fathers in our day and age, from the irascible Sean Connery as the father of Indiana Jones, to Prince Philip, who helped carry the monarchy for so many years and we just recently lost. I'm going to read from a passage in the Psalms. William Wordsworth said the following, "The child shall become the father to the man." At a first level of understanding, that seems to hold that what is within the child will form a foundation for the adult. And some have even looked further into Wordsworth's words and says that it's really calling on all of us as parents, because that child is the greatest calling that a father can ever aspire to, because that child will become whatever you help them to become. The best example of a father is our Heavenly Father. And I'll be reading from the 78th Psalm. "What we have heard and learned, that which our ancestors have told us, we will not hide from their descendants. We will tell the next generation about the Lord's praiseworthy acts, about his strength and the amazing things he has done. He established a rule in Jacob. He set up a law in Israel. He commanded our ancestors to make his deeds known to their descendants, so that the next generation, children yet to be born, might know about them. They will grow up and tell their descendants about them. Then they will place their confidence in God. They will not forget the works of God, and they will obey his commands." Let's go to him in prayer. Father, this morning, we thank you for the chance to be here. We've been kept apart for a long time, and even now, not everyone is able to join us. We pray that the words that we speak and the songs that we hear this morning will celebrate for them, along with us, your great love for us. Father, we know that you saw Israel as your child. You see us as your children. And Father, we rejoice and celebrate in the love that you've given us in so many ways. We ask that this morning our worship be pleasing to you. Father, that it be a sweet aroma, our offering back to you for the unimaginable grace and love that you showed us in sending your own Son to pay a price for our sins. Father, we celebrate you because from before the beginning of time, you have been a loving Father. We ask that you be with those of our number who can't be here. We celebrate the healing that we've experienced recently. Father, for Marilyn and for Mike, for those recovering and continuing to recover from cancer, we ask that you continue to work in their lives to strengthen them spiritually as well as physically. We thank you for this time. We celebrate your love through the name of your Son and your Spirit. Amen.
We welcome you. Glad that you're with us. And for those who are watching different parts of the world, it's Father's Day here in Canada, probably throughout the rest of the world as well. And we'll be wishing everyone a happy Father's Day, knowing in saying that, that Father's Day isn't always easy. For some of us, maybe many people in the world, they've lost their father and they miss their father because they had a wonderful relationship with them. Some of you know Dave and Gail Preston from the Huntsville area, and they have a son named Sean, who passed away this week at the age of 40. He'd been living with cancer for quite some time, and of course it was a difficult day at that celebration of his life, so much so that Sean's father, Dave, suffered a heart attack. So that was a difficult, difficult day, and is in hospital, as we know, and even as I speak, he may have already gone through his surgery. But I just say that to offer you the opportunity to pray for Dave and Gail when it's convenient. But I'd like to offer a prayer right now on behalf of them for all of us. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you so much that you are the healer of all people. We know that the Prestons have suffered a terrible loss with Sean, and now David is expecting to have bypass surgery and may have already taken place. We know that your arms are always around us. We don't have to ask. You're always a step ahead of us, but we want to come to you in these times. We ask for healing, we ask for peace, and we ask for comfort. And for every person who is watching this, for those who are in the audience today, we offer the request for those things in each person's life, peace and joy and love and the challenges that we face in life. And we give them to you. And we're so thankful for the many, many wonderful fathers who are still with us. And you, the Father of all fathers. In Christ's name, amen. So there are a number of scriptures, as you know, dealing with Father's Day, Proverbs 23, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's older. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, understanding. A father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him, and may your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. My son, your heart, keep your father in your heart, and let your eyes stay on the Lord. There are beautiful passages all throughout Scripture that remind us of wonderful and loving fathers. So I'm going back now. Some of us remember when we first started school that we would, this is my experience anyway, first thing that would happen in school is you were to go to your seat. We had a little desk there. And then we would stand up beside our desk and we would sing O Canada, or if you're older like me, God Save the Queen, we would do both of those things, and then we would say the Lord's Prayer. I see people nodding their head. Yep, I remember that. And it just struck me today, the beginning lines of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, you can whisper it out loud. Our Father who art in heaven, Father's in heaven. How many of you have a father who is now in heaven? It just struck me like a ton of bricks. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. My Father is in heaven. My Father is with the Father of all fathers. And someday maybe we will be too. It's this uniqueness of our Father who is in heaven and yet lives and abides in us, and with the promise of God that one day we will see not only God the Father, but our fathers who have all gone ahead of us. Someday we look forward to that wonderful day where heaven and earth join together and we'll be together again. And those loved ones that we have lost, you will find them, and they will be part of your life and my life throughout whatever God decides to create, the new heaven and the new earth. It's wonderful when we stop to think about our fathers in the faith. Now, if there really is a particular book in the Bible that for me kind of resonates with Father's Day, believe it or not, it's the book of 2 Timothy. And I'm going to spend some time there today because Timothy sees Paul as a father in the faith. Now, we know that Paul, we don't know that Paul had any children. We don't think he did. We don't think he was ever married. But many people looked up to the Apostle Paul as being their father in a very spiritual way. In fact, Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. So it's an interesting aspect of looking at it. What I want to do today is just go through a quick follow-through of the book of 2 Timothy, and I don't have time to read all of the passages, but these passages are really quite profound. Paul's not going to be around much longer when he writes this book. And I'm wondering if Paul is thinking about that. In fact, in several of Paul's books, and Paul writes the majority of the New Testament books, he lists names. Paul was a great list maker, and he lists names. And out of all of those names, I wonder how many of those people saw Paul as a father in the faith. There was this wonderful, unique relationship between Paul and Timothy, absolutely for sure, and you'll catch on this as we go through the book of 2 Timothy. But Paul seems to be a father to so many people. He was an encourager. He was positive. And there were times when Paul, the father, had to be strict, and he said some things that may have been hurtful only for their benefit to get back on track. Anyone ever had an experience like that in your life from your father? You know that your father loved you. At least for many of us, that was the case. And you learned some wonderful things from your father. Again, if that was the case. So I want to spend some time just going through this book of 2 Timothy. It's a very brief book. Just remembering this advice that he gives. And it's interesting to watch for those of us who are older. Sometimes we taught to the best of our ability our sons and our daughters, and now those sons and daughters have grown up to be fathers and mothers. And interesting how the advice that I sometimes hear from our own family to the children is better advice than I ever gave. And that they are wonderful parents in a time that's very, very difficult. And I'm so proud of so many people, moms and dads, who really do want the very best for their own children. Paul seemed to be this way all throughout the scriptures. He'd come across people and he would challenge people who were saying things that weren't true. And he would challenge people who were getting way off the mark. But he also elevated them to come back to the faith. And he encouraged those who were in the faith. So let's just go through this book kind of quickly. I can't read every verse. I'll just do a couple of things, say a couple of things. And Paul, it begins his book in 2 Timothy, and I'm not going to read the first couple of verses, but he's reminded of his faith, and he's reminded of his grandmother's faith, and he's reminded of other people who has great faith. And then he says, but God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Now, I don't know, but if I was a biblical or spiritual detective, I would think that maybe Paul is saying to Timothy, don't back off. Don't be shy. Don't be timid. Understand the Spirit of God has been working in your life and still is working in your life. Power and love overflow, but also self-discipline. So I'm not sure exactly what Paul was saying to Timothy. Maybe Timothy was beginning to back off, but he begins in this chapter again in verse 8. He says, so don't be ashamed. And these words are brilliant. Do not be ashamed to preach or to testify about our Father, about the Lord. Don't be ashamed to talk about your Father. And don't be ashamed of me as a prisoner. I'm in prison because I'm declaring the word of God, and Rome told me to stop it, but I'm not going to stop it because there's a Father that's bigger than the emperor. And that Father is still bigger than presidents and prime ministers and queens and kings. That same Father that Paul loved and worshiped is our Father today, 2,000 years later. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in the understanding of God the Father. So it just struck me today. My father, Murray, is with the Father of fathers. And my father, Murray, is with his father, whom I don't remember because I was very young when my grandfather died. Now, I'm talking about me because I don't know all your story, but you can go on this journey on your own, thinking about your father, thinking about your uncles, thinking about those who have gone on, and not to be ashamed, not to be ashamed. And so he says, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, our Father, or ashamed of me as a prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Our life, we may do the occasional good thing. Paul comes across and saying, it's by the credit, it's by the grace of our Lord. And this grace was given us in Christ even before the beginning of all things, even before the beginning of time, God our Father. And then in verse 11, and of this gospel, I was appointed as a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And that's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed because of whom I have believed. There's a song that we've sung. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to that day. So then he says in verse 13, what you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith, with love in Christ Jesus, and guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And now is the time to just whisper a quiet prayer to the Holy Spirit who lives in you, always guiding you to the Father. It's remarkable. From the moment we wake up, all day long, sleep, to the next day when we wake up, that God the Father has never left us, has never forsaken us, and not for one moment have any of us ever been alone. That's the Father. And we miss our physical fathers. One day, we'll see them again. And if time doesn't matter in heaven, then we can sit beside our Father and talk, and Mom, and Grandpa, and Grandma, and all those people. Or one day when God restores and renews all things, they'll be bright and vibrant, and we can be together again. See, this book of 2 Timothy, it's a book of instruction, but the instruction is eternal. It's instruction 2,000 years later that still works for us today. And throughout Paul's writings, especially to Timothy, he uses the word ashamed, not to be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Be confident in the Lord. And this teaching, as the teaching goes to this young evangelist, Paul is reminding that there are people who are all around him. Now, it's true that Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. And again, we don't think that Paul had any particular family. But Paul really becomes a father to so many people. And the list of names that we have at the end of the books mention all kinds of names. So Paul had this long-lasting relationship. And he preached the same message wherever he went. And it's the message that Jesus died for our sins. And that Jesus rose again. And that Jesus lives in us. And that one day Jesus will come back. And until that time, may we continue the work of Christ on the earth today. So in verse 8 of chapter 2, he says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, ascended from David, and this is my gospel. And then in verse 11, he has this bit of poetry he puts together. Here's a trustworthy saying, Paul says to Timothy, and if you can, even though we've read this book, imagine yourself, no matter of your gender, that you are Timothy, and you've just received this letter. No one has read it, and now it comes to you. I imagine Timothy couldn't wait to read it. You know what happens when you get a letter from someone you haven't heard from in a long, long time, and you love this person? I want to read everything. Of course, we have emails today, so it's pretty quicker than that, and texting and everything else. But it's so good to hear. And so he says, here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he disowns us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he can't disown himself. Now, I have a particular thought on this that some may disagree with me on, and that's quite all right. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. We believe that. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. He does not disown us. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He does not disown us. But we have disowned him if we're not with him. It's not that God wants to disown anyone. If a person pulls away from God, never to return, he is disowned, not by God's choosing. He would do everything to have you back to him. And for those of us, maybe with our own children, even though now they're adults and so forth, we've all had challenges in our life with siblings, and we just want people to come together as one. We just want family to be together in harmony, not just family, personal family, and not just church family, and not just township family, and not just province family, but the whole world to come together as one. And in a unique way, the pandemic has given us the opportunity to stop because we have to. And think about what really is important in my life and in your life. What are the first four or five things you think of? What is ultimately important to you in your life. And so Paul gives this book of instruction, trying to guide people back, trying to guide people who once were on fire for the Lord to come back to the Lord. He's never left us and he's never forsaken us. But he says in chapter 3, it's going to happen. He said, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And then he talks about people who are ungrateful or unholy, disobedient to their parents and so forth, and they just love pleasure more than anything else. And Paul's charge to Timothy about that is, Timothy, sometimes there's just nothing you can do except keep preaching the message. Keep preaching the message. Remember, this is Paul saying to Timothy, people can change their life. And Paul knows that exactly. From Saul, who was a killer of Christians, to Paul, who would do everything he could to help people come to the Lord. So he says, it's not easy, but he says in chapter 4, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties for your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And here comes, and this is where you and I are in the Bible. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his return. How many are part of that? Who knew that we were in the Bible? It's as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. Paul paid a price, and he knew that he would pay the price, and he was glad to pay that price. So we don't know. We know that Paul was in prison many, many times. And when you read a lot of Paul's letters, we know that once he was finally let out of jail, he was able to go home for a while. And he could stay in a rented house. And people would come to him. And Paul would write letters and send them off. People would come to visit. And I don't know that this is true, but I also see Paul being so connected to brothers and sisters around the world that he was writing furiously. People would come in to visit. I can just see Paul. Sounds like his personality. No time to talk. Take this letter. Go. He wanted people to know. He wanted people to know that God loved them. Christ died for them. That we can be part of this all. And that one day we'll be together again. I'll talk in heaven, Paul says. But you need to go. Share the message. Get it out there. And this list of names of people. See, Paul, we don't think, was ever married. We don't think he has any children, but he had a lot of children. When you look at his books, the list of names at the end of the book, there's daughters in the faith, sons in the faith. In many ways, that's true of all of us, that we can share the message that Paul knew so well because it was given to him by Christ. And so he says toward the end, my time is at hand. And then in verse 16, he said, it's not always easy. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Now, he's not talking about Christ. He's talking about the people who were helping him. And finally, maybe they just said, I can't do this anymore. But then Paul quickly says, but don't hold it against them. The Lord stood by my side, and the Lord gave me strength. He'll give us strength too. So that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed in all the Gentiles. All the Gentiles. Quite the comment that he's making. May hear it, Jew and Gentile alike. And then he says, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth many times. He was about to die. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and forever. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. He will rescue us. He will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. So Paul's in prison, and the guards come to get him. That's nothing new for Paul. And they open the jail cell door, and they take him out. And there were times when Paul was out, not for very long, and then back in, because he wouldn't stop preaching the message. But this time it was different. And I think Paul knew. And we don't have the story. But a lot of people think that probably what happened was he was taken outside along the Appian Way, just outside of Rome. And there he was executed. We don't know that for sure. But something along those lines, based on the fact that he said, I'm not going to be around here much longer. But his words are still here. 2,000 years later. See, we have a father in the faith that we didn't even think as a father. We have God the Father. But we have people in these scriptures who we've never seen, never met, but they left us a message. So I suspect one day when heaven and earth becomes one, we might be walking along in the new heaven and new earth and say, why is that line so long? Someone says, people want to talk to Paul. That's true. People just want to talk to Paul. Well, Paul's talked to us. And may his words of encouragement also be ours for the rest of our life here on this earth. Amen.
Good morning. I'm not a person who hoards things. In fact, people who know me well call me a minimalist. However, I've had this church bulletin for 21 years now. 21 years, pretty much today, it was written on Father's Day 21 years ago. And the reason I've kept it all these years, even though I'm not a hoarder, is because there's an article in it that was written by one of my children about Father. Everything I need to know in life, I learned from my father. There's her father. The best way to slow down is to coast, not break. Wet sand makes fabulous dribble topping for a sandcastle. The gallbladder is located on the liver. Hard work is a way of life worthy of my participation. Heartbreak happens, but so does moving on. Spouse and best friend are synonyms. I can never say that word. Have kids as soon as you can afford it. I'll never be too young to start my financial planning. I will never regret buying quality. Neckties are only intended for those who have necks. Never leave the table, the dinner table or the supper table, before my children. Take joy in making others happy. If an opportunity is coming my way, I should move toward it, not just wait for it. It's okay to not know where I'm going as long as I'm going with the Lord. Serve in every way possible. Make all my decisions prayerfully. Give all the time and money I can afford to others. Love and live for God. And those are some pretty important lessons that child learned from Father. And I've learned some lessons from my Father too, my Father in heaven. My Father's grip on me is more important than my grip on him. Because of Christ's death, my Father's grace is sufficient to forgive me no matter what my thorn may be. Sin can be a prison. Accepting my Father's grace is a release from prison. My Father's grace through Christ's death is sufficient to transform me into an eternal being. My Father's grace through Christ's death is sufficient to shape me into a new being. My Father's grace through Christ's death is sufficient to forgive my every sin. My Father's grace is sufficient to love me. My Father's grace through Christ's death is sufficient to heal my brokenness. My Father is not pointing his finger at me. He is not wagging his finger at me. He has his open arms ready to accept me, flaws and all. Nothing can separate me from the love of my Father because of what Christ did. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself on the cross and being willing to follow God's will and to do that so that we can be at one with God. And thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for accepting us as we are. And thank you for the grace that you have and for the joy that bubbles over within us because of it. And we pray that as we take Christ's body and take Christ's blood within us, that it will help us to be filled with you and filled with Christ and filled with his love and with his obedience and with his joy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may partake.
I was hoping for a special treat, and there is a special treat at the back. You'll recognize Daniel and Helene because they're dressed in bright yellow to match each other. So do say hello to them when you get a chance to. Before I close, I'm going to read the words that Dawn had chosen to go with today as a charge to you. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you are the Father of Fathers, as Dawn reminded us. Father, that love and family is what you have known for all existence, long before you chose to bring us into your family. As we go out from this place today, Father, may we help you enlarge that family. May we show Jesus' love to the world. We pray a special blessing on the Preston family at this time, Father. We ask that you comfort them. We thank you that in the midst of what we see as difficulty, as the problems that the pandemic has created, you continue to love us deeply. Father, that it is your love for us that's more important, as Rhonda reminded us. Thank you, Father. We celebrate with you the Son of your love and your Spirit who lives within us. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. The scriptures marked NET are from the Net Bible, netbible.com Copyright 1996, 2019. Used with permission from Biblical Studies Press, LLC. All rights reserved. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.